Hello and good morning to all the listeners of the podcast Post-Critical Psychogeographies from Weak Resistance to Weak Avant-Garde. Today I would like to discuss two important, iconic feminist artists, Marta Rosler and Marina Abramović. I will focus more on Marta Rosler's work, but use Marina Abramović's work, or actually a specific exhibition, as a comparison, as also possibility to expand a little bit the context of both artists, and specifically Marta Rosler. I've been carrying the idea for a text about Marta Rosler's exhibition at the New York MoMA, the Meta Monumental Garage Sale from November and December 2012, for over 10 years. So I decided to make a podcast. Somehow it takes me a long time to reflect upon this exhibition, its significance, its meanings. Its meanings also outside of Marta Rosler's artistic biography, and its meanings for the feminist art, for feminist art canon, for exhibiting as a critical practice, and for Marxist, leftist, and critical art more widely. So having such huge expectations from myself, I think I couldn't really get my stuff together and get my thinking together. And I was contemplating different aspects, different dimensions of the Meta Monumental Garage Sale of Marta Rosler. And I decided that, you know, in order to speed up the process of writing about this exhibition, this super important exhibition, I think, I should maybe make a podcast. So this is how this podcast came to life. I have a sort of a working title for this project, for this analysis, on inhabiting the canon, feminist perspectives, Marta Rosler's Meta Monumental Garage Sale versus Marina Abramović's The Artists Present at New York's MoMA is examples of feminist takeover in the art world. I'd like to start the discussion with a small quotation from Karl Marx, who was also quoted by Marta Rosler in her Meta Monumental Garage Sale. "The sum total of the mechanical forces exerted by isolated workers differs from the social force that is developed when many hands cooperate in the same undivided operation." This is a quote from Capital, Volume 1, based on Penguin edition from 1976. Discussing the work of Marta Rosler requires considering her immense contributions to the feminist and critical art practice and theory, such as her film video Semiotics for the, of the Kitchen, released in 1975, where the names of alphabetically ordered kitchen equipment became the syllables of invisible affective woman, women's house labor. Within the world of separation, so harshly depicted by Guy Debord as society of spectacle, all human relations are commodified. It was not merely the presence of image or objects that troubled the French situationists. It was the commodifying agency of capital turning every expression of emancipation into a performance of obedience, every sign of resistance into its opposite, every radicalism into compliance with capitalism. Marta Rosler's response to this diagnosis is focused on the actual conditions of production, embracing the feminist materialist position on cultural production of power, which always involves gender inequality and injustice, but also leads to resistances in the very fields of its most advanced presence. So Rosler, I would say, has been occupying critical position for decades, and has been staging the garage sales since 1973. Perhaps this is important to notice. Some writers were comparing the Meta Monumental Garage Sale from New York MoMA from 2012 to this first use of the garage sale format by Marta Rosler in San Diego when she was still a student at the university. I think this comparison on one hand is important because it traces down a sort of litany, a list of garage sales that Marta Rosler has done. So the garage sale at MoMA was not, by far, not the first. The first one was 1973 San Diego, but then there were exhibitions exhibition projects or performances of the garage sale made in multiple galleries in Europe and in the United States. So this is a topic that is very lively for Marta Rosler. On the other hand, Marina Abramović's answer to capitalist reality focuses on alienation, I think. Thus, her art has been focused on strategies involving authenticity and testing the limits of freedom of an individual most of the time. Heralded as the gain of capitalist realism, autonomy unmasked as only its crippled phantom by the performances of Abramović, that was Yule, over several decades of their collaboration. So my claim is here that Abramović is also undermining one of the central elements of capitalism, specifically neoliberal capitalism. I think this authenticity and freedom by their performances so demanding for the body and for the psychology of, and for the individuals, they were showing how restrained, but also how surprisingly flexible a human can be. Even though their political stance, so the stance of Abramović and Yule, was not one of the direct critic of capitalism. They both came from former Yugoslavia. They were both very preoccupied with the totalitarianism of the Stalinist era and of the later communist world, even in Yugoslavia, which was more emancipated than most of the Soviet bloc, so-called. But still, they were not initially anti-capitalist, I would say. Their art can be read as one involved in indirect critique of the everyday obedience in capitalism. And some performances made by Abramović openly questioned human predilection to servility and authoritarianism. Negativity, marking all modern discussions concerning aesthetics, has always been present in Rosler's work, at least in twofold manner: as critical agency of the artist, sometimes also of the participants of her art, but also as the very materialized embodied presence of the oppressed. This, the black matter of the social tissue, marks her interventions into the social in forms of feminist critique of the capitalist production of idealized consumerist dream, in demanding the right to housing, and in constant questioning the artistic means of production and the commodification organizing this artistic production. Rosler became famous for her refusal to stand as a queen of the show. Her works, including this already mentioned Semiotics of the Kitchen, offer many strategies of the artist's disappearing, or indeed sublation, you can say, in the artistic process. In Abramović's art practice, on the other hand, negativity is in the body. The dialectics of this of its boundaries, vulnerability, capability, and exposure opens to the world often just represented by another human. While Abramović could be seen as fierce follower of Jean-Paul Sartre's existentialist individualism, Marta Rosler shows herself as the situationist and also Marcusian practitioner of refusal of participating in the spectacular world, where images replace social relations and capitalism appropriates and commodifies all expressions of freedom. While for Abramović, emancipation is based on individual agency and expanding autonomy from an independence experienced individually, Rosler aims at reconstructing the subtle tissue of social relations, marginalized, reified, appropriated, and often also destroyed by capitalist market. While autonomy supposedly trumps the system of in Abramović's performances, solidarity and collaboration bring hope to the otherwise alienated and commodified galaxy of Rosler's universe. These two artists support feminist claims, but in their very two different ways. I think politically you could say that Abramović might be representative for the liberal feminism, while Marta Rosler is much more significant in the current of socialist and sometimes also anarchist feminism. Both expand emancipation, I would like to argue. So even the liberal feminism, which I'm usually not very comfortable with, has some emancipatory claims and sometimes also results. And I think the experience of Abramović's art, as well as the artistic practice of Abramović and also her ways of entering the canon, have had some emancipatory repercussions, which I will discuss later. And I claim that for me, from my perspective, more socially invested feminism, Marta Rosler's interventions and the Metamonumental Garage Sale, for that matter, have been pivotal in bringing up the feminist agenda into reality. within the art world and beyond it. Both artists expand emancipation, however, only one of them seems to negotiate the rules of artistic production and representation. The other seems to follow them, at least when it comes to her own exhibition, and that would be about Abramovich, of course. I would like to address two exhibitions, one by Marta Rosler, the other by Abramovich, both staged at New York's Museum of Modern Art in the beginning of 2010s. Marina Abramovich's The Artist is Present, 2010, and Marta Rosler's Metamonumental Garage Sale, 2012, as examples of two feminist strategies of entering the artistic and art historical canon. This comparison is an intuitive one, and it is not built to win one artist against the other. This would be very simplistic. I have my preference. I announced it already earlier. I'm much closer to Marta Rosler's theoretical position, political position, and artistic strategies. However, I think that there is something important that we need to emphasize also on the side of Abramovich. So this is not a competition, let's say. So the comparison is an intuitive one, and I came up with it in 2014 when I first heard from Marta Rosler, actually, about her exhibition at the MoMA New York. I felt like, oh my God, this is so amazing that you took a garage sale and made this garage sale exactly in the same institution in the MoMA New York as Abramovich had this super monumental Artist is Present exhibition. And interestingly, in the writings about the show that I was investigating recently in order to compare somehow my own interpretation of both exhibitions with some other writers and theorists of art, I only found the comparison with Abramovich used twice, I think, once in the article, in an article in the New Yorker magazine, where the author was emphasizing that the garage sale took place exactly in the same monumental performance lounge where Marina Abramovich was hosting her The Artist is Present monumental performance. So the garage sale and The Artist is Present were situated exactly in the same space of MoMA New York, which, as an author from New Republic, Jason Fargo wrote in his article, Not Everything Must Go, in the published on 5th December 2012. Well, he writes of this atrium as grossly overscaled. The atrium has dwarfed almost every work of art that has appeared there. So he makes this point that Marta Rosler's Metamonumental Garage Sale sort of brought back the proportions and disarmed this atrium from its sort of predatory effects that it had, that it used to have earlier on the artworks which were exhibited in the space. So this is one of the interesting elements, maybe performatively, especially of Marta Rosler's exhibition. I did not consult, it's maybe important, I did not consult the details of my comparison with the artists, neither with Marta Rosler nor with Marina Abramovich. However, I did speak with Marta Rosler about the general idea for a comparison of the two shows, and she was very excited about it. So this is also why I'm trying, after 10 years, very late, I'm trying to make this article happen by first launching the podcast about it. I'm also fully responsible for my interpretations of Rosler's work, and I'm trying to signalize where my interpretation might differ from the artist's intention or even maybe disagree with it. I need to stress that both artists, Rosler and Abramovich, and both shows made great impression on me. And both, I think, constitute great example of feminist and critical approach to cultural canon and its gender presuppositions. First, I would like to take a closer look at Rosler's show. It was presented as part of performance program for me, this show, and Sabine Breitweiser was the curator who actually came up with the idea of Marta Rosler bringing up the garage sale in MoMA, New York. For me, this role stands as one of the most inspiring, critical, and powerful artistic projects, providing insights not just into the essence of Marta Rosler's art, but perhaps more importantly, forcing our reflexive effort to critically engage with the mechanisms of market economy, art business, and its exclusions and injustices, as well as the capitalist modes of spectacular production. The Metamonumental Garage Sale was in many ways similar to the project Marta Rosler realized later at the CCA Warsaw, Zamek Ujazdowski, in 2014, called Poland, a Guide for the Perplexed, in the accentuating of the performative and public dimensions of artistic work and in the refusal of creating any material art object for sale. This definitely earns both projects a solid position among conceptual as well as critical art. But in what is coming, I'm going to also focus on feminism and feminist dimensions of this specific intervention into the exhibiting space, which was not an accidental random one of many galleries, but it was the core of artistic production business global map. I would like to argue that New York MoMA shows of Abramovich and Rosler did some fantastic changes for feminist art practice and theory. They both offered novel and particularly powerful ways of entering the art historical canon by entering the canonical exhibiting side. If we consider the New York MoMA to be the core part of the museum global exhibiting canon and map, and we might have no other choice, we need to agree that using the opportunity of exhibiting at in such central art gallery for arranging a garage sale is not an obvious choice. Many feminist artists had already exhibited at MoMA, and most of them made all the efforts in the world to use this opportunity to monumentalize their own position in the art world, to best present their historical earlier artworks, and thus also to increase the historical as well as economic values of these artworks. Marta Rosler, however, did the exact opposite of that, and I think this is very important. She used the monumental MoMA building to stage something so ordinary, so everyday, mundane, and poor as garage sale, and it confused the serious curators and staff of the galleries, of the gallery, as well, I think, as the writers who later came up to this and were completely perplexed. So I believe that actually the title Poland, a Guide for the Perplexed might come from this impression, this affect of perplexity, most people, I think, were very lost about what Marta Rosler was trying to achieve with this garage sale at the New York's MoMA. I think perplexity and a sense of loss, of being lost, might have been the dominant affect. However, this I don't know because I never went to New York just after the show. Rosler's show at the New York MoMA was presented as just 1 year after the solo exhibition of another iconic feminist artist, Marina Abramović, who, as we all well remember, I'm sure, used the opportunity to inscribe her incredibly important artworks from several earlier decades, mostly produced with her partner Yulei, into the art history and art canon, and rightly so. However, the rules of art history, art market, and art exclusions did not shake. The already classical Abramovich's performances just gained an even more solid monumentalizing platform without unfortunately contesting the grounds of the canon. Rosler's approach to the exhibiting at the MoMA New York was far more modest on several levels. First of all, she refused to be at the center of the show. Even if she participated in all the meticulous small transactions, even if she made prices for all the 14,000 items that were first collected and then sold or at least presented to sale at the MoMA New York, she was not in the center of the spotlight. In the Metamonumental Garage Sale at MoMA, the socio-political and economic mechanisms were given the spotlight, and the mechanisms obviously of value production in the first place. Rosler took, as she usually does, a threefold, I think, or even morefold, if I can say this in English, position on value production. So first she took Karl Marx, as I did in the beginning of this podcast, and she took The Capital and other texts to discuss the value production. Secondly, she spoke of the anthropology, of the micro-anthropology even, and feminist anthropology, of the very experience of bargaining and discussing the prices of items in the garage sale. But thirdly, and this is very important, by means of putting used ordinary objects in the MoMA New York, she brilliantly produced an effect of contrast between those ordinary objects and all those objects which are called art objects or art pieces or artworks. So she, I think, and this was for me the most important. So actually, the biggest importance, critical importance of this garage sale that Marta Rosler staged in New York's MoMA, for me, was not so much about directly criticizing capitalism and its means of production. This was, for me, much less important. Yes, it was happening. Yes, Marta Rosler provided everyone with quotations from Karl Marx, with quotations and photographs from her earlier garage sales. She gave us, I mean, the viewers of the exhibition, the opportunity of participating again in actual negotiations for prices. And, you know, so she gave us, she granted her viewers, her participants, the real experience of bargaining. But I don't think this is the most important. I think a much more important fact is building a sale which is not an artwork, which was not, it was documented, there was direct streaming online, but there were no art objects created based on the sale, even though there was a newspaper produced in the time and as a part of the project. It wasn't a documentation piece, so there was no documentation, no video, no art objects created in this process. So Marta Rosler deprived, she robbed herself, you can say, from the possibility of capitalizing on this metamonumental garage sale. And I think this is a gesture which proves a sort of failure even of Marta Rosler as artist. Because if we look at the strategies that an artist should, according to our cultural rules, capitalist rules, fulfill while exhibiting at MoMA, the artist should be capable of capitalizing their access, their entrance into the gates and into the walls of MoMA New York. And Marta Rosler did nothing of that. She made an exhibition, she made a project, not exhibition, which could not sell in any possible way. So she robs herself from the possibility of actually earning a lot of money by not only producing new art objects, she could also exhibit her older artworks and magnify the amount of money that they were worth. So she could make a speculative gesture, which was par excellence what Marina Abramović did, because Marina Abramović entered the New York MoMA gallery with sheer intention of using that spotlight, of fulfilling all the rules that the capitalist art market has in store for artists. So she, instead of contesting those rules and violating them, or otherwise undermining them, or negating them, or criticizing them, or doing whatever with them, Marina Abramović fulfilled those rules brilliantly, amazingly. She could be seen as a brilliant, as a maître de Sèvres, you know, as the iconic example of how a feminist can profit to the biggest extent from the possibilities offered by MoMA New York exhibition. Marta Rosler did the opposite. She failed at every single step of this success-making operation of exhibiting at New York MoMA. Therefore, I did very strongly disagree with a small article that I found online, which was incredibly critical, actually nastily critical, I would say, or aggressively critical towards Marta Rosler, published by Carol Deal, who said that the only reason Rosler gets to sell stuff at MoMA is because she knows how to navigate the museum system, and by doing so, blatantly exposes herself as a player in the exclusive milieu she made a career of railing against. End of quote. So this was a quote from Carol Deal from the blog Artvent, blogspot.com. I think it's ridiculous. This comment is ridiculous because Marta Rosler, she entered the museum system and she entered the New York MoMA for that matter, so the absolute center of the system. But then she failed at capitalizing, at succeeding at any of the parts. She resigned from producing a new artwork. She resigned from producing from increasing the value, multiplying the value of her older artworks. She resigned from building meticulous documentation of the work. She resigned from making of herself a star of the exhibition. She was only present as a participant of the exchanges. She did not put a spotlight on herself. She did not show how her personality, how her critical perspective, how her knowledge, how her experience, how her body, how her beauty, whatever else that Marina Abramović was using, all those things to increase the value of herself as the creative artistic subject fluent in the art market. Marta Rosler has presented herself as a failure in the artwork, and I love this gesture because I think that was the hit that the capitalist economy might have some problems with surviving, because Marta Rosler refused to succeed. So here, obviously, I would like to reference an author whom today I find incredibly problematic. However, in 2010, 11, 12, I found incredibly inspiring, Jack Halberstam. Jack Halberstam, in his book, The Queer Art of Failure, speaks of impossibility or inability of reiterating the gender and other success, gender identity successfully within capitalist logic as a form of resistance to neoliberal capitalism. And I find this argument incredible. So basically, anytime when we try to perform a successful entrepreneur, a successful woman, a successful man, a man successfully, that's a different story, right? Because then we perform masculinity and not men's success, or a woman, or a, I mean, I'm not sure if performing a queer unsuccessfully counts as a resistance to neoliberalism. That would be a question I would really like to ask to Jack Halberstam if we were on speaking basis. However, the failure of Marta Rosler as artist, but specifically as artist invited to MoMA New York and not succeeding, this failure constitutes a real problem for neoliberal capitalism, because it shows that even the artist incredibly competent in how the museums function, in how the art system works and fails, in how to create artworks. Marta Rosler knows very well how to create successful artworks. She did create many of them in her lifetime. However, in the recent decades, she had made all the effort to refuse producing these objects, not because she wanted to starve herself, not because she refused the participation in the artistic canon, but because she wanted to disturb this canon, to undermine its premises, and I believe she did. At least she convinced me. I'm not sure if entirely voluntarily, because I am not sure to what extent failure, for instance, was a category that Marta Rosler herself would use in order to describe her project at MoMA. I think perhaps failure was not exactly the intended effect. I think what was intended, I need to consult this with the artist, and I will, I promise. But I think what was intended was critique, was disagreement, was refusal, perhaps. But I think what made this exhibition, so Marta Rosler's meta-monumental garage sale at MoMA, actually interesting and successful, was the failure in presenting herself by a renowned, fantastic artist as a successful artist. And let me compare for you Marta Abramović. Oi, Marta Rosler, not only was Marina Abramović, who was super successful at every part of this task, but also with somebody whom you might not remember. I remember her super well because it was one of the most interesting televised events that I have witnessed as a child. So obviously it's like, one of the 5 or 10 most important memories in my mind. The woman who was representing the United States of America in world championships and also in Olympic Games in Calgary as an ice skater, Debbie Thomas. This African-American woman was world champion several times and then also brown medalist of Olympics in ice skating. But in 1986, while she was a defending world champion of the discipline, she performed something that you can still find online on YouTube and this kind of portals. And you can still hear the commentators, the television commentators, who cannot believe what they are witnessing and commenting. So this disbelief is symbolic. So this woman in a free competition, so there are several competitions usually in the world championships, there is short one, longer one, etc. And in the freestyle, she performed all the failures that an ice skater can do. So every pirouette was broken. She was jumping on the fence. She was chewing a gum and making balloons of chewing gum. She looked like the yellow bird from Sesame Street, and she was basically behaving ridiculously. And this ridiculousness was amazing because it was the best performance I've ever seen of, not intuitively, not by accident, by intent, but intentionally failing at excellence in a performance. And this performance of this ice skating, when we look at it right now in neoliberal capitalism, when success, productivity, effectivity, you know, also measuring of our success is so meticulously done and so central for the economy, when we look at those failures, we are thinking, oh my God, this woman is so free and so autonomous. And this is my first thought when I heard about Garage Sale at the New York's MoMA made by Marta Rosner. And I would like to leave you, so these are very chaotic notes. I think I didn't proceed linearly. So I hope you could stay with me and until the end. So this is the initial material that I would like to work on and craft more to make a proper analysis of Marta Rosler's Metamonumental Garage Sale at the New York's MoMA. However, I'll be happy to hear your comments and remarks, and also not only about Marta Rosler and the significance of her show, but also your thoughts about the comparison of Abramovich and Rosler. Because I think from a feminist perspective, it's super important not only to value those who enter the canon while respecting all the premises on which this entrance is made possible, but also, and perhaps more importantly and more radically, to value those artists and other subjects who try to enter the canon while violating and neglecting the rules. And Marta Rosler, I think, at MoMA New York project Metamonumental Garage Sale, she actually violated those rules by failing spectacularly at accomplishing any one of them. Thank you so very much, and I hope to have you later listening to my further episodes of the podcast.